Now I have more people coming to me saying, I have to be doing peptides. Everybody's doing peptides. If I don't do peptides, I won't get stronger, thinner. I'm falling behind. Some of these are like $350 a shot and they need multiple and you do it daily and it's not in the 80-20. So
my testosterone in November, it was 872. 3 months later, 56. I didn't notice any difference because libido was good. I was gaining tons of muscle, but that's because my body only needed to produce 56 nanograms per deciliter of testosterone. The binding affinity was so great. It's not additive. It's just a feedback loop, and it was an unintended consequence. And then I got off it and just hoped and prayed that this was transient.
Your algorithm right now, it's likely, I think I need to be doing peptides. And I was like, oh, you're falling behind if you're not doing it, which can be dangerous at best.
So a lot of people taking peptides today, they're not testing. They're not doing blood work. Many of them aren't even doing DEXA scans and stuff. They're just, it's a trendy thing. I fit better in my pants, so everything's fine. This should be like the cherry on top. I know your eating's maybe not where you'd like it. How's your sleep? So you have so many other things to do before, you need to put the fire out.
Right.
Before we can go polish the brass on the Titanic. Let's fix the hole in it first. For the person who thinks it's going to make up for all these things, you don't train, you don't eat well, you don't sleep well. It's a fool's errand. And a fool and his money are soon parted when peptides is the topic. It's going to be great in the same way casinos are good for a lot of people.
Yeah, I hope it takes the yoke off your shoulders, even though you were probably hoping this would work for you, in a sense that you don't need to go spend $300 and inject your belly every single day right now to get more progress in the area you're hoping for. Let's go back to those habits. Let's go back to adherence and start there, and then we can move forward. Welcome back, everybody. We are going to continue this trend of what's going on in the TikTok and Instagram and social space. How do I make sense of all the chaos out there? In a prior episode, we talked about the epidemic of skinny fat.
Uh-huh. Scary.
And so today, what I want to talk about is peptides, because I get a lot of questions about peptides. And for me, and this is N equals one, but even a year ago, the questions were more just curiosity. Should I try peptides? What are peptides? How much do they cost? Are there good ones or the bad ones? And for a lot of it, I was like, I don't really know, but here's where you might look, because I'm not an expert. Jim, you know a lot more about this than I do. But the reason I want to bring it up today is because now I have more people coming to me saying, I have to be doing peptides. Everybody's doing peptides. If I don't do peptides, I won't get
falling
stronger,
behind.
Thinner. Yeah. I'm falling behind. And some of these are like, you know, $350 a shot and they need multiple and you do it daily and it's not in the 80-20. So let's go over peptides. What are they? What do we know about them?
So
anything else you want to talk about with peptides? Just talk about peptides, Jim, until I tell you to stop.
Yeah. So as far as a deep dive, anybody listening to this could go to their AI and go, what are peptides, and get the full rundown. So I won't waste everyone's time with like the textbook paragraphs. Essentially, it's strings of amino acids that have effects within the body that provoke a response from the body. And these responses are considered desirable. And there's different peptides for the purpose of provoking different types of responses. There's peptides that mimic the hormone that we release to provoke the release of growth hormone, like during the night, GHRH. And so when you have those peptides, growth hormone is released. There's BPC-157, which is a healing agent, can reduce inflammation and build up cartilage and do things with satellite cells and stem cells. And the list goes on. Very commonly known ones are GLP-1 agonist drugs. Those are peptides. So peptide is just a string of amino acids, has different effects. The things to consider with peptides, the different areas you could talk about. One is, has it been studied? How has it been studied? What do the studies say? The other one is making the bed while the house is on fire. Like, at what point should you be interested in peptides? What do you have to take care of first? And then there's no free lunch. You always have to pay the piper eventually. So let's talk about the studies. So right now, most of the peptides, it is the case that they are legally, they're for research purposes only. So they're not FDA approved. They haven't been tested in humans, many of them. A lot of the great studies we have on peptides are actually done in rats. And they're mammals. We're mammals, but there's crucial key differences that make me want to be in the control group for this one. Being in the control group for large-scale experiments of this type has held me in good stead in the past. So, hadn't been studied. The ones that have are FDA approved. And of course, the reason, and these are the GLP-1 agonist drugs, And this is the Mounjaro, the Ozempic, tirzepatide, retatrutide. These ones, it costs millions and millions and millions of dollars. So I get why the other ones haven't all been studied in randomized trials with humans. Who's going to pay for that and why? Whoever puts the money in the jukebox picks the song. So the weight loss thing, they're going to tackle that first and the rest come along. So I get the Faustian spirit. Let's climb that mountain because it's there. Let's be at the forefront. So the gym culture is at the forefront pushing this. And there's something called the law of unintended consequences. And I'll give you a great example. I've been called a man ahead of my time or behind the times, old fashioned, depends on who you ask. But
by your own Wikipedia submissions?
I'm the one editing my Wikipedia page. And so in 2017, I was using, I did one round of what are called SARMs, Selective Androgen Receptor Modulators, SARMs for short. And this is, they're not peptides, but it's a similar type of thing. I took a research chemical for the purpose of getting jacked, essentially. And the selective androgen receptor modulators, this class of compound, it's not like injecting testosterone, for example, but it does affect the testosterone receptors on your cells. So it makes your existing level of testosterone way more potent. So it's kind of like getting at the same thing, but in the reverse. And man, did it work. It worked great. But I promised I only do it for 3 months. I got DEXAs before and after. It was amazing. But I also got blood work before and after. My testosterone in November of 2017, after Thanksgiving, that's when I decided to do this. In November, it was 872. And I was like, all right, your boy's cranking. And then 3 months later, 56. 56. Now, to me, I didn't notice any difference because libido was good. I was gaining tons of muscle. It was awesome. But that's because my body only now needed, my androgen receptors were so receptive. The binding affinity of the receptors was so great that my body only needed to produce 56 nanograms per deciliter of testosterone for the same effect. So it's not additive. It's just a feedback loop. And it was an unintended consequence. Like I knew this could happen, but I wasn't intending for this to happen. Like I was like 2-3 months. What could it go wrong? 56. And then I got off it and just hoped and prayed that this was transient, that it would go back up. And in the next 3 months, I was up in the 600s. I was, okay, good. I'm on my way back up. But it took time to heal that. So that's an example of
something. And we don't know, when you talk about the lack of research, we don't know what would happen if you took that. And maybe we do, but what a large cohort would experience if they took that for years.
Right. And if we weren't testing. So a lot of people taking peptides today, they're not testing. They're not doing blood work. Many of them aren't even doing DEXA scans and stuff. It's a trendy thing. I fit better in my pants, so everything's fine. But much like all the side effects we're hearing of people who do irresponsible things with the GLP-1 agonist drugs, they're the ones having the side effects. You can abuse any sort of compound, and that's what's happening. So the studies aren't there yet, so we just don't know yet. And so a lot of people are like, I don't care, bro. I need to get jacked. Fine. It's America. You could do what you please.
And your algorithms, back to the beginning of this conversation, your algorithm right now, it's likely. We walked into the studio today to do a podcast, and by happenstance, a member was like, I think I need to be doing peptides. And I was like, oh, that was just serendipitous. Like we were already talking about the fact that everybody's talking about this, and all the algorithms are like, you're falling behind if you're not doing it, which can be dangerous at best.
Right. So there's the study stuff. Then there's making the bed while the house is on fire. When should you do the peptides? And so it's a funny turn of phrase, making the bed while the house is on fire. First things first, have you been strength training consistently? How long have you been strength training consistently? How's your sleep? How is it? Do you fall asleep to the TV at 11, wake up at 2, go to the bed? All kinds of, you're looking at screens right before bed. You're looking at screens after sundown. So how's your sleep? How's your nutrition? How are you eating? You drinking alcohol? Are you messing up your sleep? You're not strength training? Then it's not the time to add peptides. And how's your stress control? Are you managing your stress? Do you meditate? Do you journal? Do you have breathing exercises? So if you have a resistance training program that's effective and consistent on lock, if you're eating whole, real foods that your great-grandmother would recognize, that can be plucked from a tree, dug from the ground, or hit with a spear, or caught with a hook, are you eating that food? You are? Okay, cool. Do you have a meditation practice of breathing? Do you have perspective? Do you journal? Do you have a gratitude practice? If you're doing all of those, all right, then peptides would be the next thing. But by the time you're doing all of those, you're not going to need the peptides. You won't feel so motivated to take them because your body will be changing rapidly and miraculously if you can do those four things.
The things that we've said before are not complex, but they can be hard to be consistent if you are still in this mindset of, I just want a quick fix. This is a dumb analogy, but it reminds me of, we talked early on, and we gave an analogy about like money and saving and investing and stuff. What this reminds me of would be somebody that wants to build up wealth and have more money over time. And because we get in these conversations with people, we've had one recently, and the person listening to this will laugh because I'm talking about you. It's like, hey, I've been doing isokinetics, but man, I'm not putting on muscle like you have been, Kyle. Cool, what are you doing? Well, I've been training for a marathon. I don't get enough food. My sleep's been a little off. Sometimes I only train 1 time a week because, you know, I'm not as high. So, and we go, oh. So it'd be sort of like somebody being like, hey, I think I should go to Vegas because it turns out if you gamble, there is a chance.
Yeah.
I could get rich. And it's like, well, okay, before we talk about your bank account and jump straight over to gambling, which is what I think you could say some peptides might be doing. Is,
I saw on social media. I saw the video. He won.
Right.
He won big.
Exactly.
Like, it's possible.
Right. It's back to like, okay, before you do that, are you spending less than you make? Are you saving? Are you putting that? Because if you did that, fine, maybe you can afford to gamble a little bit.
Yeah, have some fun in Vegas.
That's right.
If you have the rest of your financial house in order.
Yes. But yeah. If not, you're making the bed while the house is on fire.
Correct. Yeah, it's like the rain bet or the DraftKings or like the gambling, the casino. That shouldn't be the first way to try to increase your money. There's other more proven ways. So one is we don't have the studies to back, except for like BPC-157, that's been studied in humans. The GLP-1 agonist, that's been studied in humans. There are some of the older type ones, more popular ones, that have been studied in humans. Cool. But a lot of these, even the more popular, Ipamorelin, Semorelin, Testamorelin, a lot of these things, just we don't have the data yet.
Yep.
And so I'm in the control group for now, thanks. And I'll report back how it's going, not taking those. I think it's an exciting research. In the future, AI is going to scan you and give you exactly the dose of exactly
here's
what you
need.
Here's
all your amino acids.
And that's going to be great. That's going to be awesome. And it's just improving the quality of life. It's kind of like everyone used to do steroids or cheating and this, that. But actually, it's just something to improve your life. There are a lot of hormonal adjustment pills and injections that we've been handing out like candy for generations to an unsuspecting public. It's actually messing people up. But we can't give them some testosterone after age 50, make it make sense. So it's gonna be good. It's just not ready yet. And then the you're making the bed while the house is on fire. This should be like the cherry on top. So just have that perspective when you're like the person who came in, the member we spoke with. I'm thinking I should get on peptides. It's like, I know your eating's maybe not where you'd like it. How's your sleep? And how's all? So you have so many other things to do. Before you need to put the fire out,
right?
Before we can go polish the brass on the Titanic, let's fix the hole in it first.
Yeah, and it can be psychologically, it can be somewhat damaging too. At least in my experience, when you get excited about a Band-Aid, you start to let those other things go even more.
Now, yeah, halo effect.
Yeah,
it's like, well, I've been on peptide, so I guess I could get a little loosey goosey over here and still,
yep,
over, you know, compensate for it.
Yeah, so then you're more likely to not have those habits in place because now you're taking the thing that you think is going to help. A good example, we've talked about this before too, is there's a lot of research on females that train for a marathon come out weighing more or having more adipose on their body than before. And the outcome of that research was, yes, when they're training, they're exhibiting more, you know, they're burning more calories and stuff like that. But because of that, and because of how fatiguing it is and all that, and because of the mindset of like, man, I ran 10 miles today, they actually tend to move way less, eat more. And so you don't end up with the proper exchange. And so that thing doesn't become potent enough to get you the results you wanted.
Right.
So same thing with a peptide. If somebody starts taking this peptide, and I've taken one before, and it did nothing for me, and it was expensive and annoying, and I'm shooting it in my belly every day. And that's not to say that's the case for everybody.
Right.
It can be easier. Well, because I'm doing this thing and it's great, I can pay a little less attention to my sleep or the alcohol or the protein, which is just not true.
Right. Right, it's additive. I gave the example of like, you take a bunch of steroids and then sit on the couch and you don't train, you don't eat well, you don't sleep well. But then like a professional athlete does it and it makes him way better. That's because he's doing all those other habits. And this is just stacking it. So it's good for that purpose. Great. But for the person who thinks it's going to make up for all these things, it's a fool's errand. And a fool and his money are soon parted when peptides is the topic. So it's going to be great. It's good for a lot of people in the same way casinos are good for a lot of people. I'm not so much against it so long as you're aware of the risks, potentially, and you have everything else sorted and locked down like you should. Yeah. And if you're still not satisfied, Faustian spirit, let's climb the mountain. Let's go further.
Check it out.
Where nobody's gone before. Let's fire up. Let's do it. I'm into it. But that's only once you've covered all those bases.
Yeah, and that's not an area we specialize in at FastFit. So if you're going to work with somebody on peptides, find a functional doctor, somebody that is closer to the research, also has a lot of experience with real people.
Yeah, clinical experience.
Because otherwise you can just order them online right now, and that would be
That's another thing I forgot to mention, the sourcing, because it's unregulated. It's not FDA approved.
Right.
So what's in the vial? How do you know? You don't. It could be a knockoff from China. It could be compounding pharmacies. It's very much a Wild West. That's the third part I forgot I want to talk about. From where are you getting these? And what's their provenance? What are they made from? How old are the, so learn about your supplier. In other words, it's like when I buy beef. I buy like a half beef from someone I know. I've seen the cows. I didn't learn the nicknames or anything. Didn't want to get too close.
Yeah, you don't want to do
but
that.
But I knew where my beef is coming from. I know that's the hill that they eat grass on. And so just good luck. Lots of luck trying to figure out if I order on the internet and then it just comes from somewhere to my home in real life. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, exactly.
How are you going to source that? So that's a challenge as well.
Yeah. So look at the sourcing. The best way to do that, work with somebody you know you can trust that's an expert. And
The clinician. Find someone who has a good supplier that's proven.
Right.
So that's a great idea. Find a functional medicine doc. Find someone, a middleman who knows.
Yeah. Not a peptide clinic on the
right.
internet.
Yeah. Not
an
on
actual
the
doctor, physician, practitioner.
Just three dudes in Bangladesh, like, all right, time to ship a few more out.
Right.
Here you go. Yeah, they love it. We're getting rich.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
No, it's not. Nobody likes that.
And then, honestly, I hope it, sort of paradoxically takes the yoke off your shoulders, even though you were probably hoping this would work for you, in a sense that you don't need to go spend $300 and inject your belly every single day right now to get more progress in the area you're hoping for. Let's go back to those habits. Let's go back to adherence and start there, and then we can move forward. Cool.
Well said.
Peptides.
Yeah. And there you have it.
Look at that.
Peptides, folks.
Yeah. It's neither left or right. Good luck. All right, man. I'll see you
soon.
Control
group. Check it out.
Thanks for tuning in to the FastFit podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at fastfit.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make exercise simple, empowering, and a part of a life well lived. See you next time.